So the book is Philippians, and the aim is joy. The Christian life, in large parts, is supposed to be joyful. It's not supposed to be sort of endless misery. It is supposed to be joyful. Sometimes the joy will come through tears. The joy will come through doubts or disappointments, but there should be some joy. Joyful churches are good witnesses. Joyful churches and people come from joyful individuals. If you are an individual committed to joy, you will begin to affect the people of God and the community around you. So the question is, how can you be more joyful? I think that's one of the reasons we have the book of Philippians, because of joy. And in answering that question, the Lord gives us commands, he'll give us illustrations, and he'll give us examples. And the great example this morning is the Apostle Paul, what it means to live out your faith. Where does Paul's joy come from? Well, if you were here last time, you began to see it in chapter 1, didn't you? It comes from the partnership with other believers. That's where his joy comes from, number one. And their growth. How they're growing in love and becoming more like Jesus. But then number two, where does his joy come from? It's from the advance and the growth of the gospel. That's where his joy is going to come from. And it's probably worth saying as we begin, what is the gospel? What is this gospel that is advancing? What is this gospel that's advancing and Paul is so joyful about? Well, if you've been at Donington for a while, you may say in your mind, here we go again. We're back at the gospel. Why do we need to keep going over the gospel again and again and again? Few reasons. Number one, people join us all the time. New people will join us. They haven't heard the gospel, and now they have an opportunity to hear it. Number two, although people hear the gospel, we don't always respond to the gospel. Either the penny hasn't dropped, our eyes have not been opened, or the penny has dropped, your eyes have been opened, but you're doing nothing as a result. And therefore, you need to hear again the gospel. Reason number three, and I think this is the main reason why we keep going over the gospel, the New Testament does. All the time. There is a lot of repetition, especially in the books of Paul. He keeps going over and reminding people of the gospel. It's not just in the books titled gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Actually, it's in every book. There's the gospel. And it's not just for unbelievers. It's not just for the non-Christian. She needs to hear the gospel because she needs to follow Jesus. So what about you? Where are you standing? Oh, okay, I've understood the gospel. I've accepted the gospel. Now I've got to go and do this, this, and this. No, you haven't understood the gospel yet. The gospel is not just for the believer. It's for the believer and the unbeliever. The gospel is for everyone. It is for how you become a Christian and how you're going to stay a Christian. It's going to be through the gospel. So the gospel is going to bring you to faith. It's going to keep you in the faith. So come, if you go a few pages forward to the book of Colossians, which follows, and Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, have a look at that. Have a look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's speaking to the church at Colossae. Still in prison, and he says this, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Did you notice the gospel? Christ Jesus as Lord, verse 6. That is the gospel. Okay, there's expanded explanations of the gospel that you find in the scriptures, but the very basic, Christ Jesus as Lord, Jesus is Lord. That is the good news. That Jesus is deity, that he is God's son. That he is God's son who has been crucified as God's answer to my disobedience. That is what has happened. This is his only answer, and this is his final answer, because with this answer, everything is satisfied for those who will believe. Yeah? And so the good news is, the gospel, I am spared the punishment that I deserve from God. You are spared the punishment that you deserve from God. And the great news is, now you can have a relationship with the Father in heaven. It is now possible for that to happen. That's great news, isn't it? But I can now connect with the creator and sustainer of the universe. Yeah? It says, as I submit to his rule, as I confess my disobedience, what do I have? I have freedom. I have absolute freedom. Yeah? I was having a conversation with someone about free will a little while ago. Until you're free, you don't really have free will. Let me repeat that. Until you're free, you don't really have free will, because every decision you make is skewed, is biased, is corrupt. So you've got the free will, but what you're doing with it? You'll always go down the road of, I'm going my own way and I'm going without God. Yeah, my free will is up the creek until Christ frees me. Then I'm really free. I'm free to follow him. So what does Colossians say here? It says Christ Jesus as Lord. It says as you received it, as you started, so you're going to finish. So I started with Christ. I started with the gospel. I'm going to continue. Continue to live in him. Continue to come to him for grace. You came to him for grace at the beginning when you said, please forgive me my sins. You're going to keep coming to him for grace, saying, please forgive me, please strengthen me. You're going to keep coming again and again and again in a relationship. And so we're going to stick with him. Stick with him. Okay, turn back. Turn back to Philippians chapter 1. Over, if you know your history, over decades, over centuries, Christians have enjoyed much peace in the UK. And we have enjoyed much favour. That is changing and is likely to change dramatically in the next 5 to 10 years. I am not a prophet. Well, I might be actually. I am not a prophet's son. But I believe this will happen. The trajectory is going that way in terms of hostility to the gospel. Now, if that happens, okay, and you've got the Great Commission, which Christ has told you, saying to you, my son, my daughter, I want you to share the good news of Jesus, what's going to happen to that good news if you are persecuted for your faith? Are you going to continue? How's the thing going to grow in the future? Should we just lay it to one side and keep our head down and run for it? Can the gospel grow in a hostile situation? Philippians 1, Paul says yes. Paul behind bars, Paul incarcerated, Paul in prison says yes. How? How? Verse 12. Have a look at verse 12. Says there. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, to take it forward.
As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So he's saying, as a result of the suffering and the persecution, the gospel is going to go forward. Okay. Now, you have got to say this. If you're a preacher, inevitably, you do end up preaching beyond your experience. I've not been in prison. I tried to get into one, I couldn't get in. Okay, they don't have people to let me in to visit somebody. That's the nearest I've been to prison. I've not been in prison. I've not lost my job for being a follower of Jesus Christ. But I give you this here because in the future, and probably in the near future, it will become important. And so we need to know now that Paul is joyful because of the advance of the gospel, which has come through suffering and persecution. And here's the way I think he sees it. If you arrest somebody, yeah, you have to explain why. Yeah, you can't just pull someone off the streets. Even with the Metropolitan Police in London, you can't just pull someone off the streets and just put them in a cell and say, why are they here? Well, I just didn't like their face. Yeah, you've got to have a reason to put them in there. You need to explain why. Yeah, and if it's about something they said, you have to explain to someone exactly what they said was wrong, why it was wrong. Yeah, the issues you had with that particular person. And if it gets to court, you're going to need to publicly explain it again to a judge. And the judge, in this case the emperor, has to hear it, it has to marinate in his mind, and he has to make a judgment. And Paul says, that equals the spread of the gospel. That's the spread of the gospel. People, authorities are rehearsing the gospel. They're taking the gospel apart to see, is this anti-Roman or is it pro-Roman? Is this guy just a nutter? Or is he some kind of dangerous terrorist type of character? We need to know. And so as a result, the gospel's being heard. The gospel is going from one person to another. Yeah? And if someone's a prisoner, if they're taken into custody, if someone says, no, you need to be guarded, someone's going to need to guard them. And if someone's being guarded, at some point, a guard is going to ask, what are you doing here? Why are you here? What have you done? And Paul says again, that is how the gospel is going to spread. It's going to spread in both those ways. Okay? What's happening over there? Is there something? Got a radio or something? Anyway, let's carry on. We're told that there's a number of forms of evangelism. Okay, you may have heard of friendship evangelism, street evangelism. One time in the 1980s, there was power evangelism. There's everyday evangelism, there's home evangelism. Here's a new one to add. Suffering evangelism. Suffering evangelism. Persecution evangelism. That God will use my suffering and use our suffering so that others will hear the good news. And it particularly appears to happen in societies where they try to restrict the spread of the gospel. God will often use suffering and the bad things that happen to his children as a way to have people talk about the good news. Let me give you some examples. A few years ago, Northern Irish couple owned a bakery. I think their names were the Ashers. They were asked to bake a cake which had a pro-LGBTQ+ slogan on it. They refused. Okay? They were prosecuted. They won. They lost. They won. They eventually won on appeal. The thing which was really interesting was their manner. They were quite a young couple, yet they were very gracious, even to the person who prosecuted them. They even said we'd bake his cake again. And on the look of their face, I could say, you people actually mean it. I thought, wow, something of the gospel's coming through. That's one example. Example number two. Have you ever heard of a man called George Best? Some of us have, some of us have not. Probably number one, number two, Manchester United's greatest player. George Best, famous guy, led a pretty wild lifestyle, died, had his funeral. What has that got to do with Philippians 1? Well, George Best's sister was a follower of Jesus. And so when it came to the ceremony, she got her pastor to do it. So here comes George Best's hearse. You've got all these top football, ex-footballers who've turned up. It's covered on the BBC. It was covered on ITV News at the time, now defunct. It was covered live on Sky TV, the whole service. And what happened? The gospel was preached. Yeah? All the things that we hope would happen at these big national events when the king turns up and some guy stands in sort of funny garbs and sort of chucks some sort of religious spaghetti at people, but with no coherence, and you leave sort of disappointed there, the chuck. It happened there. The gospel was plain. It was beautiful. And then there's other examples as well. What can we learn from this? Suffering is not good. It is not good for the children of God to be persecuted. And those who persecute the children of God will have to answer to him. But God can use our suffering for good. He can use it to give the gospel a hearing that otherwise it would not have. So how's the gospel going to spread? Where's his joy? Number one, persecution evangelism. Number two, bold witness. So have a look at verse 14. Verse 14. He says there, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Now that is not supposed to happen. Yeah, that is not why you arrest believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I do not arrest followers of Jesus Christ so that the message of Jesus Christ can spread. No. I arrest believers and followers of Jesus Christ so that the message would stop, so that they would be discouraged from going forward. And this man, Paul, would be an example of what will happen to you if you do what he has done. But what's happened? Loads of people have said, I'm going to preach the gospel. Because this guy's gone to prison, I'm going to preach the gospel. They're speaking more boldly. They're speaking fearlessly. Paul has become an inspiration. And from what I can understand in history, this is not a one-off occurrence. It often happens. When people are silenced, others are inspired by God to take the baton. And the gospel spreads even further. Yeah, so what has been the fruit of our brothers here, Middle East? More people rising up. Yeah. Their government would not even admit the existence of believers. Now they have. But they've said, oh, they're just a bunch of street people. They're not worth it. They don't count. No. I'll tell you why they're doing it. Because the gospel is spreading. The gospel is spreading is great news. There are other examples, of course. But that's what can happen. 1950s, famous account of the spearing of five missionaries in Ecuador. Went to share the gospel with the Alca Indians, went to meet them, and they were speared to death. Interestingly, at the time, when they went missing, the biggest magazine in America sent a reporter and a photographer to photograph everything that happened while they were gone. And so it went all over America, the death of these men. And there's even a photograph of when the five ladies hear that their husbands have been killed. What's the result? Apparently, they got a letter from one boy who said, 18 years old, he said, I've been praying for a week. I'm going to get serious about my faith. And I want to take the place of those five guys and go with the gospel to Ecuador. That's not supposed to happen, is it? It's supposed to put you off. It's supposed to make us put our head down. But it doesn't, especially when God's involved. Yeah. As it was, the women themselves stayed. They stayed, shared the gospel. The tribe came to Christ in massive numbers. Where does the boldness come from to do this? Is this some sort of inner stubbornness? Is it sort of something within me? I'm searching for the hero inside myself. Have a look at what it says in verse 14. Who are they? They're brothers in the Lord. They're brothers of the one who has a spirit of boldness, which he has given to you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. The spirit of these men is the spirit that God has within you if you're a follower of Christ. Absolutely. Absolutely. Motives. Let's finish with some motives. Where does why have they shared the gospel, and why do people share the gospel today? This is a strange thing to read. Verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, since not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. So this fearless group of men who say, we're going to take up the gospel, Paul says, have a look at their motives. Some are doing it for this reason, and some are doing it for that reason. Some are doing it out of love, but others are doing it for other reasons. When I was a young Christian, I was spiritually naive. I was as naive and as silly as they come. I thought, if you were a follower of Jesus, you got along with everyone. Absolutely everyone. I thought everyone who served would serve for the right reason. Only to discover, over years, people serve for all kinds of reasons. People serve for all kinds of reasons. Some will do it for money. Some will do it for fame. Some will be on a power trip. Not everyone, okay, so don't get scared. In this case, it's rivalry and envy. Paul's in prison. I don't like Paul. I'll take his place. I'll go around preaching the gospel to people. And while I'm doing it, I'm going to talk Paul down. Okay? I'm going to talk Paul down. And so what happens there? What's Paul's view of it? Because for us, motives are terrible. Okay? Motives are not good. We do things. If people do things with a bad motive, we want to sort their motives out. But what's Paul's verdict? Verse 18. What does he say? What does it matter? The most important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. I rejoice. In other words, with regards to motives,
I don't care. I don't care. The gospel is going to spread. Okay? You cannot stop it. So he rejoices. He's full of joy. So, when it comes to us, where do we find our joy? Where are you going to find your joy? If it's just in the material, trouble. But if it's in the spiritual, then things are good. Yeah? Where do we find our joy? Number one, it's in the message. We need to find our joy in the spread of the message. Number two, it's in the growth of the people. The growth of the people, the spread of the message. Okay? So when I'm able to hear of the spread of the gospel, then I am ready. Okay. So where am I going to, how am I going to find that? Number one, news outlets. Yeah, because if I'm going to hear about the spread of the gospel, I'm not going to hear it from CNN. Yeah, I'm not going to find it from a Facebook page necessarily, unless I'm looking. So news outlets is one, like Evangelicals Now. There are Christian newspapers, Christian websites, missionary prayer letters. Okay, missionary prayer letters, missionary magazines. And then finally, there is talking to people. Talking to people. So the call is for joy. The call's for joy. Okay? And the call is to find joy in partnership and the spread of the gospel. May the Lord give us opportunities to do these things. And may he give us that spirit of boldness as well. For Jesus' sake.